Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And today we will hear the Gospel from St. Matthew and talk about the parable of talents. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Made famous by the Academy Award-winning 1965 film, The Sound of Music. The Von Trapp children singers, great-grandchildren of Maria and the Captain, return to Corpus Christi Cathedral with a Christmas concert for the entire family. Tuesday, December 2nd, Lee Woats will conduct the Corpus Christi Symphony as they accompany the Von Trapp children singers. There's no charge for this concert and no passes are required. Priority seating is available, however, for VIP members. For the whole story, call your Cathedral Concert Series at 888-7444.
Back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you, Barbara?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Well, we have a wonderful gospel from St. Matthew, so let's prepare to hear his word this morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man, going on a journey, called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to a third 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come share your master's joy. Then the one who had received 2 talents came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy. Then the one who received the 1 talent came forward and said, Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. So, out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back. His master said to him in reply, You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. Should you not have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, what you just read was really the longer version of this gospel, because there Correct. Was a shorter one, too. Right. And
Oh, but you read those short ones and you miss
that's
everything.
That's exactly
that's
right. That's exactly what I was going to say.
So I'm not sure my parishioners in the parish always felt as good about it as I did, but I think we need the whole thing.
You do need the whole thing, because after reading the shorter one, you did miss a lot of the messages.
Yeah,
so
sure.
For some reason, Mass this morning, if you have the shorter one, go find the longer one, Matthew 25:14-30. Well, you had mentioned this last week that these gospels and these parables are really coming at the end of our liturgical calendars. We're preparing for the season of Advent.
Right. I think it really goes parallel and really hand in hand, almost comments on last Sunday's, which is also our Word of Life, which I'll now remind everyone in case we've forgotten. Hopefully you've already had some experiences to share with one another at home. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And this staying awake, again, is not just keeping your eyes open, but also your talents being used. And I think so it flows right into this gospel, which, of course, is a continuation, the next verses after last Sunday's gospel. Of course, we do know that Jesus is not speaking about a certain monetary or a physical thing, but he's speaking about the talents which are gifts to us. Talents, of course, would have been more of a something that was quantitatively measured. But here he's just speaking about us as a person. We're all different. But let's look at maybe some of the preconditions, just the attitude that a person can have with dealing with the talents that God gives us. All of us kind of like things the way they are. We like the status quo. Let's not rock the boat. And so we tend to, in many sectors of our life, live life that way.
And being in our comfort zone?
Comfort zone. It's always been like that. And somebody, I remember in many situations in parishes or in groupings within parish, somebody comes in with a new idea, and you think the world's been turned upside down.
Right, right.
Because it's always been done this way. Well, yes, and there's a certain something to say about stability in life, but also we need to be open. We can't live life. We can't live a faith life, especially with a closed mind. I was just dealing with the other day a group of young theologians from around the country have started a group, which I'm kind of an advisor to. And, you know, I mean, a theologian is one that kind of pushes the benchmark a little bit, never going beyond in the area of faith, but putting their talents at the service of the church. Maybe there's a better way of presenting, especially as we look at the new evangelization of our society, that the way we've always done it doesn't always speak to everyone. And so the church always has to look at, yes, the tradition, the truth that we have, but maybe we need to present it in a way that is understandable to people today. But that's also in our own faith, in our own personal journeys. We can become very static, let's say, with our prayers, to where we repeat them without the internal faith or the internal intention that they need to have. And so I can maybe justify a commitment that I have. I want to say these prayers every day, and I rattle through them without being aware of what I'm saying. So
you're just saying them on by memory.
Right. Is it praying or is it saying prayers? That's always the difference. But anyway, I think Jesus is kind of looking at that type of a mentality that you're given a life to live. You're given it with talents, however many they are, not to just resort to kind of a static way of life, but to live a dynamic faith, a dynamic life. There was a saying that I saw once, which was, there's no faith without adventure.
Oh, I like
which
that.
Which is interesting.
No faith without adventure.
And why is that? Because life with God is an adventure. And sometimes our way of just doing things the way they've always been done almost says that God is static, that God is uninvolved, that God is not speaking to us, that God is I hate to say, but in the extreme, which some erroneously, obviously, as a heresy, that God is dead. And so I just say my prayers and do my thing. But are we in touch with God as an adventure. I know someone introduced to me the concept, the idea many years ago about life as a divine adventure, that faith is a divine adventure. So in other words, I might be challenged in something, or I might be asked to do something which is beyond that comfort zone, or even discovering a new prayer, like silence. I think for many of us in a very noisy and chaotic world, it would be a real test to take 5 minutes. We can make all the excuses we want, but to take 5 minutes to be absolutely, positively quiet.
Turn off the phone.
Everything.
Turn off the TV.
And our minds and
right.
all our
shut everything down.
And that is an adventure. Mm-hmm. And I think there we would discover that God is in that whisper. But if we don't try that, we may just resort to the way things have already been. So this is the kind of mentality that Jesus is really approaching in the gospel today when he tells the story of the master who goes off and brings his servants in and gives them these different number of talents and then what he finds upon his return. So that's just kind of the setting, I think, before we even get into what the meaning of these talents are and what the different reactions are to it. But that's kind of the mindset mm-hmm. that he saw. And I think we should look at ourselves. What is our faith life like? Is it static? Is it going through the motions, in other words? Or do we see life? Do we see our faith as a divine adventure with God? We see this in the life of Jesus many times when he says, I've come not to do my will, but the will of the Father. Well, if you're going to do the will of the Father, that's going to be a dynamic life. Father, not what I want, but what you want.
And hearing what he's telling you.
Exactly. And that opens a person up. If I am the prosecutor, judge, and jury, I mean, I'm kind of closed up in myself.
Right.
But and that's what faith is to turn my life over, my destiny, my future to another, being God. That enters into a divine adventure. So there is no faith, really, without adventure. There's no faith without turning ourselves over to God's plan for us.
I like that term, divine adventure, because we've talked about so many times about our journey and our faith journey. And when I think of a journey, I think of an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, doing something that's out of the ordinary. So a divine adventure is a wonderful term.
Right. Another image that can be used in light of that is like a tapestry. If you've ever seen one, it's really one that's done by hand on the front side, the beautiful design. Mm-hmm. But if you turn it over, there might be knots and mm-hmm. cuttings and pieces of thread that are hanging, and so it looks kind of yucky on the one side, mm-hmm. which is kind of what life's about.
Right.
But on the other side, it's a beautiful tapestry of mm-hmm. life, and that's God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to live with ourselves, live with our sins, live with our mistakes, our errors, our weaknesses, but knowing that through all of that, God is creating a beautiful design with mm-hmm. our life, and cooperating with that is what Jesus is offering to us mm-hmm. as we stay awake waiting for him to come.
Yeah, it's a beautiful vision. All right, we are going to continue our conversation on talents. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
What is a pre-Cana seminar? It's a one-day marriage preparation seminar for engaged couples and couples married civilly for less than 1 year. It's designed to inform couples of the spiritual and practical aspects of a Catholic marriage and help couples focus on building a lifelong relationship. Diocese Pre-Cana seminars qualify for the Together in Texas program to promote healthy marriages. Couples who complete certain premarital classes and workshops are exempt from the $60 state marriage license fee. County fees, however, do still apply. Pre-Cana seminars are scheduled each month through December 13th at St. Peter Prince of Apostles Church, 3901 Violet Road in the Annaville area. For specific dates and more information, call the Diocese of Corpus Christi Family Life Office at 882-6191. To register online, visit diocesecc.org/precana.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before our break, we were talking about the talents, and as I was preparing for this, I looked up the Catechism, the particular passages that relate to Matthew's Gospel. It's interesting that it said that, and it's so true for us, it said, you know, the talents weren't distributed equally.
Right.
And the quote was, "These differences belong to God's plan, who wills that each receive what he needs from others, and that those endowed with particular talents share the benefits with those who need them. These differences encourage and often oblige persons to practice generosity, kindness, and sharing of goods. They foster the mutual enrichment of cultures."
Right.
How true is that? Yeah. You know, when you have working groups together, it's wonderful when you when one person has a particular skill. Say, I'm personally not very right. good with Excel, but I have strengths in other areas. So I love that dynamic that somebody's not depending on me to do something where my talent is not.
Right. It's so true. And putting all of them together, I mean, nobody looks to see who is more talented in the human sense than another when they come together.
Right.
If they stand apart, you can say, oh, and then we put people on pedestals. You know, like, right. It's like a Hollywood mentality, you know? And then we become insecure because I'm not like that person. Maybe I could tell our listeners and with you an experience, and this is one that I treasure. It was the first time I was a pastor, so it's quite a few years ago. But when I got to this parish, the yard was just abominable. Mm-hmm. It was overgrown. The shrubs were kind of, what do you call them, the little suckers coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And the tops were brown.
Nobody been paying attention to
no
it.
No one paying
like.
Attention. There were no flowers. It was just really kind of sad. And I have a theory, and I'll say this very openly to those in the diocese, that if we keep the exterior of our churches and our schools beautified, and I've been talking to the priests about this, also the inside, it's
right.
welcoming. It's welcoming.
Yes.
So anyway, long story short, I said to the parishioners that we need to do something about the yard. So I'm calling for a work day on Saturday, whatever the date was. And, of course, you had the naysayers. And it's I think it almost fits this gospel perfectly. It's like, oh, Father, it's going to be the same people. It's going to be the first 10. It'll be this group or that group. And nobody else is going to come. I said, well, let's try it. I want to try it. So what I did is I went out to the local hat factory. And I brought a picture or image of the church and the name, and I bought 60 hats. So we'd have a hat for the work day. That's from 10 to 60. That was a big jump.
Right, yes.
But throughout the couple of weeks prior to, one man came to me and he said, Father, I have a tractor. I can't be there for that day. I'd love to participate. But what I can do is bring my tractor. It was kind of a working area of the town, so people had farm instruments and all sorts of things. I'll bring my tractor and chain and I'll pull up all those dead shrubs. Oh, that'd be great.
Do all the pre-work.
Pre-work. Had it all ready. The next person came along and said, we're too old, but we can cook. How about if we have lunch? Well, I hadn't, you know, me, I have the ideas, but I don't have the practical side. The priests that work with me can affirm that. So I said, it'd be great. So they set up on that day, a full kitchen. There was breakfast and lunch. We were done by dinner.
Oh, my gosh.
So they had, you know, probably 10 to 15 people working in the kitchen and serving, bringing drinks out to the people working. Others showed up. I said, bring your tools, you know, because we're going to ripped up the entire lawn. Mm-hmm. Put down this beautiful St. Augustine grass. I asked people if they wanted to buy, we bought hawthorns, Indian hawthorns,
right.
for a lawn in this church, mm-hmm. that would bloom certain parts of the year. So we had more than enough. Each one bought a little plant during the Sundays. Some that couldn't come bought a plant. So everybody participated. Mm-hmm. One of the men had a brother who was a landscape architect who came and planned it out for us.
Oh, how wonderful.
So the day arrives, and I was almost in tears. It was just so beautiful. We all went into the church. We said a prayer and said the more we work together, We can put all of our talents together. I said, some of you may be great painters, but you might be asked to dig a ditch. Some of you might be able to work in the garden, but you may be asked to paint the, you know, the eave on the door. The beautiful thing, Barbara, is they were exchanging their tools with one another. Well, I brought the paintbrush, but I don't need it. So you give me the hoe and I'll give you the paintbrush. Yeah. And it was just this exchange of gifts and talent. They started talking and visiting it. You know, I went around mm-hmm. and they were visiting. And of course I had my jeans on too, and I was hard at it myself.
And your gloves.
And one, it was a church that was on the highway. So this man drops in and obviously hitchhiking, and he just wanted to know if there was anything to eat. Well, one of the ladies said, yes, come with me. And she took him into the cafeteria or the parish hall, and they sat down with him. But they didn't just serve him. They sat with him. They got to know him. He's like, he didn't want to leave. He found a community. I forgot to say, I didn't have enough hats. We had 80 people.
Oh,
I only had 60 hats. And at one point, there was a university, a major university there, and some of the young people came over, and they had hats because they got there early. And somebody came and said, where'd you get the hat? And one of them said, well, here, take mine. It was just this exchange of talents, of charity, of love for one another. We spent the entire day. We tore down some dead pine trees. We planted this yard of this lush St. Augustine. We planted the hawthorns, et cetera, et cetera. That community came together because everybody shared a talent. Some were able to work all day. Some worked an hour. So the point of, does God give the equal amount of talents to everyone? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Does he give what you need? Yes. Is what you have to be shared? Yes. And what is the result? Unity and a community of people.
And people who probably never knew each other or didn't go to the same mass
exactly.
to see other people got to know people
exactly.
within their own parish home.
Before I left the Diocese of Austin and came to Corpus Christi, I was back there for a mass, and I almost get tears when that grass is just, you know, flourishing. The hawthorns were, mm-hmm. you know, almost 3 feet now, mm-hmm. and that whole it's a memorable day, and the people there that are still around still speak about that day, and it was just an idea.
Right.
But that's the kind of talents that Jesus is speaking of, that come about or used in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. That the worst thing is the one, and of course what he's pointing to here is the person who did nothing.
Just hit it, buried it.
Right. Who didn't come to the day to clean up the yard.
Right.
When you look at those other people, just as maybe the way to pull it out even more, how much those 80 people were enriched by that day.
Right.
And the one who maybe, and I don't know who it is because I don't know if there was one, but the one who maybe wanted to come or didn't even want to come, stayed home and maybe watched a ball game.
Naysayer. Never contributed anything.
Right. And how poor they are.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Jesus is speaking of. It's not about the numbers. And it's not about just living those talents in an isolated world as if I am the beginning, the end of all things. Again, being the pop star or kind of idolizing one person. This is I think, a real trauma in our society today. We idolize a good speaker. We idolize sports images, Hollywood people, politicians. No. What Jesus is speaking is bring it all together. That's the kingdom of God. Put your talents at the service of one another, as St. Peter says. This is what having talents is all about. And the beautiful thing, and perhaps if you look at the two, the one that had five and the one that had two, what did Jesus do at the end when they gave back 10 and four? He didn't say, wow, great. No, he gave them more.
And more responsibility.
More responsibility.
He some rewards, yeah.
And that brings out a very, very key principle to human life. The more you use it, the more it will grow.
Mm-hmm.
The more you invest yourself, the more alive you become. The more faith you express in every situation, whether, again, a difficulty you're going through right now, have faith. Guess what? Your faith will grow. It won't right. diminish. But to say, oh, well, God doesn't love me, or this is, you know, I asked for prayers. I asked God and he didn't do anything. Well, maybe he did do something. Maybe he just wants mm-hmm. a little more faith. And having that faith, you'll find more faith. St. John of the Cross, I know I've quoted this before, used to say, where you find no love, put love, and there you'll find love in abundance.
That's true.
I added that. Where you have no faith, put faith, and you'll find faith. Where you have no hope, put hope, and you'll find hope. These are the talents that are given to us. Those are perhaps the greatest talents that we have, faith, hope, and charity. Mm-hmm. If we do it, if we put it there, they grow. Use it or lose it.
Well, and they, in my research, the comment about the third servant was, idleness and apathy have consequences.
Yeah.
And it'd be a hollow life.
It's a hollow life. It's an isolated life. Yeah. It's a lonely life.
Sad life.
It's a sad life. And look at what Jesus says in the parable. Out of fear, I went and buried your treasure. I had no hope. I had no faith. I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I had no love.
Right.
Those are the three things. And, of course, as we know, this is really the gospel of stewardship. And so when the church and our parishes, we're trying to speak more and more about stewardship, not to get money, but to assist us in our faith. The more you use it, your faith, the more you have it. Use it or lose it. Mm-hmm. And the same with our financial treasures. We bury them for ourselves in selfish ways, and we're left, you know, with really nothing. Our talents, our abilities, our time. Again, on that day, as I said, some could stay all day, some stayed mm-hmm. an hour or two. It didn't matter.
But they were able to share
into
they
the
were
there.
Beauty and, of what you all created
right,
that day.
And they all received something, as mm-hmm. I did and continue to receive today when I think about that one day.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So we have a lot to reflect on about making sure we're using our talents.
Right.
Bishop, if you could say a closing prayer and blessing for us this morning.
Sure. Lord, our help and guide, make your love the foundation of our lives. May our love for you express itself in our eagerness to do good for others by sharing our talents. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And again, thanks to all of our veterans.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.